The material I'd like to give you this morning is not very strange to you. We've been going over here for some time, some routine processes. And just in case you would rather have such a routine process in a very, very rote procedure, I'm going to give you one. Now, I'll show you how we put this thing together. Be of interest to you to see how one of these things just goes together. All right. Let's just take it up right where we ought to take it up. We'll find out that we confront several problems immediately. One of these problems is that our pre-clear as we begin to audit him is interiorized. That's one of the problems. But a problem that comes before the auditor knows whether or not he can get this individual out is whether or not this individual will talk to him. That's a problem. Individual won't talk to him. He can communicate. The auditor can communicate, of course, by mimicry, but we're not dealing much with psychotics. And not much important. So let's... whether or not the pre-clear will talk to him. And now, whether or not the pre-clear can get enough of his attention on auditing to be audited. Now, you understand that a psychotic simply has so much of his attention on a problem that he can't get any of it free to put on you. Well, that's all really that's wrong with him. Anytime he tries to direct any attention in your direction, some facsimile, something of the sort, leaps up in his road, and he is unable to bridge that gap. Now, there he is non-communicating, you see, and he goes into some dramatization. He starts to communicate to you all right, even though it's only a millionth of a second. But his attention is immediately twisted aside. Now, this condition is considered an irrational condition merely because there is no lion, elephant, snake, school teacher, doctor standing there ready to ruin him. See? So you as an auditor conceive this psychotic to have an irrational reaction to his environment. You know, he's running around in the middle of the floor, or he's flopped out on the bed. And so this is unreasonable because he is not being menaced at this moment. No menace. In the absence of menace, he's demonstrating a menace is there. And so we consider that he is unreasonable. Well, now let's just pull this up the scale just a little bit further and see that we're dealing with a gradient scale of menace in the environment. And there's the fellow who really can't concentrate on auditing. He'll try. He doesn't. Nothing menacing him in present time. He'll try to concentrate on auditing, and but he gives everything a little twist. Everything you give him, he twists somehow. Well, what's the essential difference here? There isn't any. It's just the gradient scale of the same thing. Now, he starts to do the process correctly, you see, and some lock, facsimile, energy, mass, impulse or other, comes along and zing. He's just a little bit off from what you said. Now, this individual that you're auditing is really perfectly willing to be audited, but the moment that he starts to concentrate on doing the thing which you said, an energy mass knocks him off from doing that thing. Now, we're going to just look at it very mechanically and find out that there is some partially conceived menace in his environment. Although you, seeing no menace in his environment, knowing he's perfectly safe there, knowing that there's nothing strange or untoward going to happen, are rather puzzled as to why his attention gets distracted because there's no menace in the environment. But this is the case that just works just a little bit difficult. You know, you can't quite get him to put through the command. There's some kind of a barrier will intervene in the auditing. Now let's take a case that he'll do it all right if he understands it. Now you say to him, do so and so. And this case says, well, now, what do you mean exactly? What's happened to this fellow? It's perfectly clear what you said. I mean, anybody could execute it. But he goes into a big communication flurry right on the subject of your auditing command. After he understands it perfectly, you see, why, he will go ahead and do it. What's happened there? stack of symbols have intervened between you and the preclear as a barrier. And your barrier situation actually is based upon this. It's a conceived menace in words. Words are conceived to be a menace, and he has to inspect these words very carefully to make sure they don't have any menace in them. The list doesn't sound reasonable to you as an auditor, because you know there's no menace in those words. What you're trying to do is help this fellow and make him well, and yet he conceives there's menace in these words. Well, again, this is another gradient scale, isn't it? Now, we start to audit this preclear, and we find out that he does what we say, all right, but he has tremendous lapses. Let's say he starts to go unconscious. Starts to go unconscious every time he starts to run something, you know, the boil-off case. Well, once more, there is some conceived menace in the environment which he doesn't spot. And, of course, unconsciousness is the biggest dodge. Is the dodge, that's all. And the dodge is not from you, the auditor. The dodge is from a conceived menace in the environment. Now, how about the case that we give him an auditing command and we get a tremendous communication lag? He just can't think about it, that's all. I mean, he just blanks on the subject. Well, this case really doesn't conceive menace in the thing. What he conceives and confronts, and the one thing that startles him, is an inability to respond. And you're into a case there which is not working badly. This case isn't working badly. This case is working right well. And what you're doing there is taking apart a reactive mind, which is what you ought to be doing. But look at all the grades you might go through before you got up to the point where the individual starts to take apart his reactive mind. Just look at him. Well, something else that you should understand there. This individual who today is working perfectly well, tomorrow may find some fault in your words, or he may be giving the process a little twist one way or the other as he tries to execute the auditing command. What happens? There is a menace in his environment. And if you found out about it, it would seem totally reasonable to him. See that? There is a menace in his environment. Something has happened which threatens some part of his existence. You understand that each time an individual fails to some degree, or when failure threatens to some degree, he may conceive it to be the entrance into the dwindling spiral, which, adding up a great many failures, bring about a total failure on his part. Gradient scale of failure. So he's confronting some failure in his environment, one way or the other, which is very upsetting to him. That's his present time problem. Now, if we didn't take that into consideration, we wouldn't really know our business at all, would we? Because it's one thing to have a fellow with a lot of conceived menaces in his environment, and quite another thing to have a perfectly good preclear working across the barrier of an actual menace in his environment. You know, this fellow's just been threatened with suit, or that morning he had an automobile accident and his head aches or something of the sort. And you know, it isn't a nice thing. It isn't the thing to do to communicate in this society. And he's liable to sit there having gone through Lord knows what. And you, because you've audited him 5, 6, 8 times, something on this order, you know this preclear works all right, and so you just take it comfortably. And this day, you either feel it must be your auditing or the type of process which you're running on the preclear, or it's this or it's that or it's something. None of those things. He had an automobile accident, or somebody threatened to sue him, or his grandmother's leaving him, or something of the sort. This is the present time problem. If you don't take this factor into consideration, why, you're just not showing enough knowledge of humanity to really do a good job auditing. Obviously, from day to day, the environment of this individual changes, and he will react to you to the degree that there is menace in that environment. Now, where do we use this address to the present time problem? Well, where do we use two-way communication? Where do we demonstrate an interest in the preclear? Every confounded session you give him at the beginning. Every single session. The idea of starting the audit of preclear without any preliminary, without any questioning, without any establishment of a new communication system with him or a communication system with him. If you're willing to do that and you're willing to walk into a cellar that is full of old gardening implements and broken bottles, blindfolded down a broken set of stairs. I mean, it's just about as smart. There's this guy, you say you know him from day to day, you know what his conditions are, and so forth. Well, the funny part of it is, his existence is not the first auditing session plus the second auditing session plus the third auditing session. His existence is the first auditing session and perhaps 20, 22, 24 hours of livingness, and then the second auditing session, and then another 20, 24 hours of livingness, and then the third auditing session, and some more livingness. And livingness is right along in along the line. And if you don't take cognizance of the fact that time marches on with a preclear, why, you're liable to strike some of the most inexplicable twists of the case. They'll be inexplicable to you. This fellow was working all right, and all of a sudden he's working all wrong. Well, what on earth happened? You're not looking at mental phenomena. You're looking at the phenomena of livingness. Just like that. You're just looking at a bog over a present time problem. Now, there's a trick on an E-meter, which is interesting. And you needn't ever have an E-meter as far as that's concerned. But it's an interesting use that you can put one to. Any E-meter can be set up in such a way that when the preclear squeezes the electrode suddenly and then releases, squeezes it hard and releases it, the E-meter needle on the surge meter will drop a third to a half of the dial. Now, that's an optimum setting. I don't care about these new meters, you know. They drop 18 dials when the fellow wheezes. We're not interested in that kind of reaction. When he squeezes the can hard, you've got the sensitivity knob set so that the needle drops about a third of the dial face. And every time you squeeze it, you get about that much drop. That is enough reaction so that when you get a hot charge, he actually will drop 15 dials. You can get 15 dial drops with a needle set that insensitively. Well, now there's something else you do. You set that meter up like this, and with the electrode in the preclear's hand, you ask him to take a deep breath and let it out. And after a moment's lag, the needle will go on across the dial. This is nice as you please. If he's in good shape. In other words, the needle will drop. If he's in good shape. I mean, really drop. It'll come clear across the dial, hit the pin usually, and go back. And he's in good shape. What are you reading? You're reading his basal metabolism. You ask him to take a breath, and zing, immediately after he took the breath and let it out, why, the needle went clear over and hit the pin and came back again. That's the sigh or the breathing reaction. Now, supposing you gave the preclear the electrode, you had the meter all set, and you says, now take a deep breath, or let it out. The needle twitched. Is it safe to audit that man at that moment? No. Unless you are willing to use nothing but opening procedure. It's not safe to give him a concept. It's not safe to push his energy around in the bank. You're liable to hit a hot charge and he's liable to write off his noggin. He has an energy deficiency. You're auditing, remember, a carbon oxygen engine which runs at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. It's an engine that takes oxygen in and it combines it and it generates its heat in this fashion. Now, what's the reason why this would happen? Not enough food, not enough sleep. Now, you can take some preclearance. It's working just fine, day after day. It's working just fine. Then one day you hit a session, and boy, is it a lost effort. He might as well not have gotten out of bed that morning. And that session, if you had taken him to an E-meter, if you had given him a basal metabolism test, had him hold the electrode, take a long breath, let it out, and it went all the way across, he was all right. If it didn't go all the way across, if it just twitched, no. If you'd given him one of these things, you would have found out just before that very bad session that his BMR was terrible. He just wasn't combining any oxygen with any food to amount to anything. You were running an engine which had all its cogwheels chipped at the moment. You know, firebox damped and no energy. Now, this engine, as long as it's in pretty good condition, can be audited rather easily. But when it gets into bad condition, it's audited very poorly. Now, a man who has not eaten breakfast gets this same reaction. A man who doesn't eat breakfast, let's say he didn't have much sleep and he didn't eat any breakfast. At 10 o'clock, you give him a basal metabolism test. He's not fit to be audited. Auditing will do him no good, unless all you're going to use on him is something like opening procedure, something mild. Because you sure better address a mild technique to the body, because it's not going to stand up to anything. Now, this is the same manifestation as a psychotic has all the time. The energy isn't there. The amount of energy isn't there. So we boil this down to the fact there are a few things you better pay attention to in auditing. If you have an E-meter, it's a pretty good idea. Some case that's flighty, you know, someday they audit well, someday they don't audit well. It's a good thing to just police this case with a good basal metabolism test. And those days when the guy just doesn't register on the needle, you just say go on down to the local drugstore and you get yourself a sandwich and a glass of milk. And when you come back, I'll audit you. Because, in essence, you have a motor there, a motor. It's not that auditing can't change this motor around. It's not that food really will do anything to this motor. But there is a certain normal for this motor. And we get right back to menace in the environment. When this motor is not operating well, the thetan is so concentrated upon that fact that he's liable to do almost anything. And the motor is incapable of responses, and the automaticities, which the person is generally relying upon one way or the other, aren't functioning. And you've just added this new factor of menace in the environment. And what do you know? The preclerical stumble, twist auditing commands, behave like one of the worst cases you ever saw. They sometimes will get hysterical and throw a fit on you. Sometimes they just sit there apathetically and run what you say to run, but they're not getting any better. It's not that food is necessary to back up auditing. It is that food has a certain qualitative factor in the auditing because it is a constant in the person's life. And now you've upset a constant, so you've altered his present time. See, I mean, you didn't do it, but I mean, you audited him when the constant was upset. You'll find that psychos invariably don't register on a BMR test. They're just about as dead as you can get. The motor isn't running. The thetan is so frantic at the idea of the motor not running that he's just in a state of abandon on all of existence. This is all he's concentrating on. You get somebody who's really psycho, and you will find out that if he were to cut his finger, he would sit there and moan and groan over that cut finger beyond anything you could find even vaguely reasonable. No, his concentration is on the motor. How would you like to go up to a motorist who is stalled in the middle of traffic? Car won't run. He's got the hood up. And you say to him, give me three things which you're not hiding at this moment. Doesn't work. What? The guy's liable to fly in your teeth. Why? You've taken his distraction. You've distracted him from his distraction, which is a motor isn't running, and the traffic is running, and life is going this way and that way, and there he sits, and his total concentration is in trying to get that thing going. He doesn't think you can help him. He knows you can't. Not unless you're a mechanic with a tow truck or something. So I'll just get this analogy. That's the body is invariably, inevitably, a part of present time. And the preclear's reaction to present time is variable, session to session, merely because present time varies. So the body varies, present time in general varies, and if you as an auditor never bother to find out about these factors, you're going to have the most inexplicable adventures. I suppose maybe you like adventures, but personally, when I sit down to finish a job of auditing preclear, I like to say, for instance, be three places where you're not, and have the preclear actually locate three places where he's not. It's a monomanic idea on my part, I know, but I just like to have that happen. I don't like to have the preclear jump out of the chair and say, God damn you, what are you trying to do to me now? I rather object to a preclear sitting in a chair while I am working, trying to square around his existence, sitting there totally slumped, saying between each auditing command, I wonder if she's really going to leave me or not. I wonder if she isn't. Well, maybe if I get audited hard enough and enough and so on, why, maybe I can change in the next hour or so sufficiently so she won't leave me. I don't know whether she's going to leave me or not. Oh, boy. Just a peculiarity, my part. I like to have some of the available attention of the preclear in order to make more attention on the part of the preclear. Now, maybe you're different. Maybe you like adventures. Well, therefore, all auditing of every kind, no matter what we do, is faced with here on Earth, solar system, galaxy 82, this particular universe, with those exact problems at the beginning of every auditing session. Every auditing session has those problems in it. I don't care if you audited this fellow 100 hours. On the 101st hour, you're going to have those problems at the beginning of the auditing session. This would be very nice if they didn't exist, but they exist, and they are the variables which enter into auditing, which make auditing so variable sometimes in your hands. They are variables, they're there, and they vary, and your auditing may not vary at all. Well, now, you may believe that your auditing's varying. It isn't. If the preclear remained the same, you would get a predictable result every time. But let's take these variables, look at them, and realize that we have ways and means of taking them over and making constants out of them. Let's take any procedure and preface it with a two-way communication with the preclear discovery, whether or not there's a present-time problem, what he's thinking about, what he's doing. And if he looks a little bit tired, and you can generally tell that, you know, you're really much better than an E-meter. If he looks kind of logy and kind of bogged down and so forth, why, it's not unseemly of you to say, by the way, did you get any sleep last night? And if you did, did you eat any breakfast, or have you had any lunch, or something of the sort? And it would not be outside your authority, even here in this unit, if you were to just try to remedy that particular problem. You know, say, go down to the drugstore and get yourself a sandwich. I'm not going to audit you until you do. Why don't you lie there and take a nap? But of course, if you come back having spent all night up, again, just before I'm to give you a session, I'll throw you into berth. Let's get some sleep. You get the idea. Just because the guy is sitting there, there's no reason he's there to be audited. That's up to you. See? That's up to you. It's all right when you're practicing with techniques and that sort of thing. When you're going for broke, there isn't any reason to audit anybody at all, unless they're in some kind of condition which permits auditing to occur. Now, supposing you did discover you had a terrific present-time problem, could you do something about it? I'll say you can. Well, you can just let him talk about it for a few minutes, and it takes the edge of it off. I'm not above using some of the oldest possible processes. I ran into a girl one day, and she was started to audit her, and I noticed that she looked like she was going to fling herself across the room. You know, she just had that much tension in her. And this was not usual for this pretty clerk. So I said, well, what's happened the last few days? Oh, nothing. Well, has anything occurred that's new and strange or something like that? No, nothing. All the time, you see, the more I ask her about this sort of thing, like, the more she looked like she was going to fly apart. And we find out that she was in the middle of a marital upset of cataclysmic proportions. A little further questioning demonstrated she was probably causing it, because there was another woman in the case. So I had a double terminal, the other woman in the case. She got frantic. She went into apathy. She almost did a flip. But we managed to get that other woman up there four times more. Of course, you know, this is a bad technique. It burns energy out of the case too fast. But we sure settled that other woman's hash. You know, she got to a point, so to hell with it. You know, I wonder if I haven't been just a little extreme about Roger. And then the basic insecurity that underlay the whole problem was right there. She says, well, you know, he'd be a fool to go off with an old bat like that anyway. I'm much better looking than she is. Worry over such conditions, then. Well, now let's see how we put processes together. We put processes together well recognizing these primary fundamentals, and well recognizing the fact that outside or inside or anything else, as long as we've got a pre-clear connected to a body, we've got problems with relationship to the body, and as long as, which are really not auditing problems, they're just living problems, and as long as we've got the pre-clear as a thetan there in present time, we have the liabilities of present time environments, and if we're going to audit anybody, we've certainly got to talk to them. And they've certainly got to talk back. And if we're going to put together any kind of a process, we'd certainly better take these things into cognizance as the first fundamental of that process. Because if we don't, then we're going to fail with the process. Because it's a bad process? No. Because the process won't work until we have an auditing session rolling. And we really don't have an auditing session rolling until these things which I've just talked about have been taken care of. You start auditing when you've cared for those things, but not until.